It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
I feel the need for speed.
Ow! On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Jeremy will be back on Monday. By then, the Stanley Cup playoffs will have started. That's one of the things we will talk about as we go to the Westar Hotline, a little hockey talk. We'll talk about... There's a little story going on with Jack Eichel, too. I'm not sure if your Sabre fans are aware of it. We are going to the Western Hotline and be joined by EJ Raddick from NHL Network. You can watch him on NHL Network with the NHL Now show, weekdays, 4 p.m. through the playoffs. EJ, it's Howard and Brayton. Good morning. How you doing?
Hi, guys. How you doing, Howard? We've done this for a long time, so it's just more good news.
You used to actually come on with us when the Sabres were playing playoff games. You might not remember, but
I remember.
Yeah,
I do remember.
Right.
I do remember that. Yes, that was a long time ago now.
So, what are your thoughts as an outsider, so to speak, from a national perspective on the stuff that happened with Eichel this week and what's going on up here right now?
Well, it was. I mean, it's surprising, right, that a player is so outspoken publicly about the situation, but it just goes to show you where the relationship is right now. And also, I mean, when you read up on what the discussion is about this injury and how, you know, he wants to go about treatment, I mean, I understand the concern of the team, and I also certainly understand the player wanting to do what he thinks is right for his body and his career. So this is pretty unique and understandable, I think, on both sides. And the CBA indicates that the team does have, you know, more say these days with the changes in the CBA over time. They have a little more say on these matters, or maybe a lot more say on these matters. So I think this is a really unique and difficult impasse. And I'll be curious to see how that part of it is resolved. But there's been a lot of water under the bridge between Jack Eichel and the Buffalo Sabres. I don't have to tell you guys. I go all the way back to the very, very start when, at the draft lottery, Tim Murray, who was then the GM of the Sabres, upon the results becoming official and the Sabres getting the second pick, seemed to just be upset about the process instead of welcoming the fact that likely we're going to end up with Jack Eichel. And I think if I was Eichel at that time, I would have been, why, this wasn't the response I was expecting. So right from the start, it seemed like, you know, there have been some challenges in that relationship.
I'd like to ask you, get your thoughts, you know, if they trade and what the market would be like. And I think either way, EJ, this was a discussion that was trending the way the season was playing out because, again, another losing season, last overall, another coaching change. And I think no matter what, Eichel would have been asked by the media, do you want to be here and deal with this anymore? But, you know, the injury situation and what he said about the disconnect just added another layer to this discussion. So having said all of that, if the Sabres decide to trade Jack Eichel this offseason, factoring in the injury situation, what is the market for Jack Eichel? What would it be like?
Well, I think the biggest thing is the injury, right? And what the medicals are and how comfortable another team would be in making that move. So we know what he is as a player. I mean, he's still a young guy. He's a big man. When he's healthy and going, he's one of the top offensive players in this league. So, and he's a centerman. So I think a lot of teams would certainly be willing to pay a lot to get him. I mean, I could imagine if you're in Anaheim, let's say, you know, maybe you'd be willing to give up Trevor Zegras and maybe another good defenseman, or maybe a good defenseman with Zegras, and then maybe a pick, depending on the medicals. If you're in L.A., I mean, maybe you're willing to trade a Quentin Byfield, who was the second overall pick last year, and a couple of other good young prospects and draft picks to get him. I mean, this is a significant player, and if you're the Buffalo Sabres, you've got to get some serious assets in return. And if you're going to do this process, and again, if the medicals are favorable and the market in that, and, you know, and there's not a concern that he's not going to be able to play at the highest level, I would think you're going to be able to create a pretty good auction amongst teams that have a lot that would be willing to bid quite a bit to get his services.
We're with EJ Raddick from NHL Network. EJ, to the Stanley Cup playoffs. First round series are all set now. Is there a most interesting series or maybe even a couple series that you look at and go that it's more intriguing than the others?
I think they're all pretty darn good, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, like from a personal standpoint, I think Toronto and Montreal playing is kind of cool because, I mean, I remember having them on my table, hockey, Toronto and Montreal.
That the old metal players, right? Not the plastic players, the metal players.
That's right. 100 years ago when I had that, when I had that table hockey game, it was Toronto and Montreal. And we don't see that too often, so that's kind of cool. I think the Battle of Florida. I mean, there's a totally different thing. You have all the lore and legend of the original six teams in Canada of Montreal and Toronto, and then you have the defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning and the kind of upstart Florida Panthers. First time that those two teams are getting together in a playoff series. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be, I mean, they go after each other pretty good, and Tampa's got some challenges, I think, with some guys that are probably not 100% healthy going into the postseason. And Florida, it just seems like, they get an injury, they move guys in and out. Seems like no problem. They just keep rolling along. So, you know, that's a good one. In that same division, Carolina, I mean, that's a team. This is maybe the year they go on. Maybe get to a Stanley Cup final, maybe win the whole thing. They have a really good group, but they're playing Nashville, and Nashville's been probably as hot as anybody over the last 6-8 weeks of the season with a goaltending performance from UC Soros, which is kind of reminiscent of a guy you guys are familiar with, Dominic Hasek. I mean, a .941 save percentage from Soros over his last 22-23 games was pretty impressive. And you know, then you go out west and you got Vegas and Minnesota, which Vegas had a great year. Minnesota always seems to have their number, so how that's going to play out. And, you know, then the east, you can probably flip a coin with those two matchups, Boston and Washington starting tomorrow evening on NBC after the Preakness. Then Chara against his former team. Bruins look good now after the trade deadline acquisition, so I mean, there's a lot of good series and a lot of good storylines.
I want to sneak ahead to the second round, if you don't mind, because, look, up here, people don't root for the Leafs, not surprisingly. In Buffalo, I usually enjoy watching them flame out in the first round against Boston. But I got to tell you, from a hockey fan standpoint, EJ, I think one of the best series in these four rounds could be Toronto and Edmonton, Matthews and McDavid in the second round. I think that'd be great for the sport.
I agree. I mean, I think that would be awesome for the sport to have that kind of star power going head-to-head. And also, you know, think about it. You have Dreisaitl and you have Mitch Marner. And
right.
You have, and you have the storyline of Joe Thornton, who's, you know, the ancient Joe Thornton, still trying to win the Stanley Cup there in Toronto. And so, you know, there's a lot of good storylines there as well. And that would be fun to watch those guys go head-to-head in a seven-game series. I mean, we never really had that when you go back into early, you know, the earlier, I guess into the time of Gretzky and Lemieux. Those guys never really crossed paths in a playoff series, so we lost out on that. We've had Crosby and Ovechkin, and that's been fun to watch. And so now the possibility of a Matthews McDavid, and because of the uniqueness of this season, we could get that, whereas down the road, it will be less likely,
right,
because of the fact that the Toronto Maple Leafs obviously are in the Eastern Division and the Eastern Conference, and the Edmonton Oilers in the Western Conference.
A couple other things with you, EJ, and I'm curious. Now I'm going to get you into the third round, okay? Because while things are getting better in terms of COVID in the States, it's not so good in Canada. I think I read today that Ontario is going to extend their shutdown for a couple more weeks. Has the league figured out what they would do come round three when the North Division champion has to go somewhere?
I think, this whole situation has been fluid, right? Even going back to when it all started. And I think they've been kind of dealing with things on the fly. I remember going back to last year, we were getting ready to go into the bubble. There was talk that the two bubble cities would be Vegas and Vancouver. And then that changed kind of very dramatically into Edmonton and Toronto late in that process because of changes and medical concerns and local health issues in Vancouver and in Vegas. So things change. And I think that this is one of those situations where the league has probably got several things they're talking about, several options, and they're going to kind of see how things play out. But I would think they're pretty far along with the idea that it'll be difficult for the Leafs to have anybody up there. So I think we might be in a situation where they may have to relocate. Let's say if it's the Leafs, because it could be the Oilers, could be the Canadiens, could be the Jets. I mean, really, it is kind of wide open. Although the Leafs have seemingly been the best team in the North so far this year, so I think whoever it is, my guess is that they might have to relocate to a North American city, like we've seen with the Toronto Blue Jays, for example, and the Toronto Raptors, and do something along those lines. I think if there's any concern at all about possible further outbreaks and a possible stoppage, they would probably have to even consider going into a bubble for the semifinals just because of that. Because I don't think from a business standpoint the league could afford to have this thing stopped at any point because a team can't continue. You know, and they're not going to force a team, obviously, that has a health issue within their group to continue. So I think there's still a lot of things, or several things, I'd say, on the table as they plan out the third and fourth rounds of the playoffs. But I think, again, it's fluid, and I think that they'll probably go through all these different options and see where things fall as they get closer and then make a decision.
And then lastly, I was curious, do we know, is there the plan for next season, EJ? Is it to return to what were the normal divisions and that playoff format?
As far as we know, that is the plan. There's a talk about two kind of different schedules, one that's more focused on the divisional play, but where you would play everybody else as well. And I think the difference in the two schedules that they are looking at is, one, you play in your division a lot, and then you play everybody else and equal them out like two times everybody else. The other proposal is you play in your division, then you play that extra game maybe against the other team in your conference. So you'd have three games against the other team in your conference, and you'd play one game each against teams in the West. So I think they're looking at both of those. I think they get influenced a little bit by some of this in-division play this year, some of the positives of that. I'll be curious to see which things kind of carry over in the future, kind of, you know, these ideas of playing two games in the same city. Seems like it's been something that is a doable thing to move forward with in certain situations down the road. So I think those are the things they're looking at. But there isn't an appetite to continue with this current format. The idea is they want to go back to, it'll be really an even balance now with eight teams in each of the four divisions.
Well, EJ, I appreciate you coming on with us. You're going to be a busy guy the next couple months with NHL Now. Enjoy the playoffs, sir.
All right, thank you very much. Always a pleasure, and let's get the Sabres back on track. I liked when I used to come on and talk about, you know, Mike Pekka's Sabres and Don Nikoshik's Sabres and Ryan Miller's Sabres and, you know, Chris Drury's Sabres. I liked those days, so hopefully Kevin Adams and company will get that thing turned around.
We hope so, too. It's just hard to get to a happy spot, but you never know,
imagine,
right?
Hard to imagine right now. It could happen.
Yes.
Yes.
I trust you, EJ. I do. I trust you. Thank you. Always nice to have you on the show.
You got it.
Have a good weekend.